This is Believe in Buckeyes with your host Bryant Browning and Chimdy Chekwa. How you doing, man? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man.
You look tired, man. You got to wake up, man. You looking?
I got two kids. Okay. Two kids and you know, one on the way. So
it's, okay. It's I like those numbers, man.
Sleep is not an option right now, man.
I mimicked those numbers though, man. Like, and I put it together.
Right.
So Friday night, man, feeling good. Got the NCAA tournament on. It's exciting, man. It's exciting times.
It's exciting times. Before we get started, let me give a shout out to the sponsors, man. BetOnline remains your number one source for all sports betting this season. Everything from pro and college basketball to UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, game trends at BetOnline with live betting options, free contests, live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite leagues and events. So go to the website. It's betonline.ag where the game starts.
All right. And if you have any issues with gambling, any problems, concerns, feel free to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLERS if you have any issues. Have people 24/7 assist with things. Also want to shout out, if you're in the Columbus area, shout out to Pit Barbecue Grill. If you got any catering needs in the Columbus area, feel free to reach out to the Pit Barbecue Grill at thepitcolumbus.com. Fill out the form. Reach out to you and discuss your needs. So I want to shout those out, our sponsors here for the show. So we got not a lot to talk about. I mean, it's off season, right? It's not a ton going on, but this week at the Woody Hayes facility, we had Ohio State's Pro Day. Anybody who doesn't know what Pro Day is, that's where all our guys that are looking at going and playing at the next level into the NFL or professional football, we should say, because it's more than the NFL now, right? But it's basically guys going to the NFL, they have Pro Day, so that's where all the scouts and GMs and even owners this year come in. They get to see our guys perform. So we just wanted to kind of, I guess, go over the highlights of Pro Day, discuss that, what we're feeling there. And just kind of, once again, it's always hype up our guys because we feel like, once again, it's another talented bunch. A lot of guys that probably get called the first day on the draft, and we just want to kind of discuss their performance, man. So what are you hearing, Jim? What did you hear about Pro Day? Did you have a chance to check it out, see anything?
Yeah, so just adding to Pro Day, Ohio State's Pro Day, like Alabama Pro Day and a few other schools, is not like every Pro Day, right? So Ohio State, you know, every team is gonna be well represented. You see teams like the Panthers with 9 to 10 staff members, high level staff members.
I heard the number was 14.
Fourteen. And the owner showing up to a Pro Day because, you know, they're making decisions that will really be impactful to their success for the next, you know, 2, 3, 4, maybe even 5 years. And one of those decisions,
maybe 10.
Yeah, maybe 10 years, depending on
if they get this right.
right. And one of those decisions is CJ. And, you know, we've seen, I think during the season, it was kind of a consensus that Bryce Young was, outside of Ohio State and the state of Ohio, there's a consensus that Bryce Young was the number one quarterback, probably the number one overall pick. But you see during this offseason, there's been a kind of this transition to CJ looking like the guy who is becoming everyone's kind of picked to be number one. And I think, you know, based on how he performed on Pro Day, there's clear reasons why. Like, to me, CJ is, my comparison is the Kevin Durant in basketball in terms of, you know, a guy that could just go and hoop no matter where he's at, go outside, whatever. He shows up and he's going to be able to shoot that mid-range. CJ can just show up and throw the ball, right? So a Pro Day, a combine, anything that can showcase his accuracy. And to me, being a defensive back, you know, there's a lot of things that quarterbacks need to have. Accuracy to me is at the top, with being able to understand, diagnose, you know, what the defense is doing and make decisions, and then being able to put the ball exactly where it needs to be. And there is no better quarterback in the draft than CJ when it comes to doing that. And I think he showed that again at this Pro Day, which was expected.
Yeah, that was suspected. And obviously, like you said, once again, going to the year, Bryce Young is the guy. I mean, nothing has been decided, right? But he's still the guy. He's the guy that won the national championship. He's the guy that won the Heisman at Alabama. And obviously, I mean, is a tremendous player. And I probably look to have much success in the NFL. But obviously, he had a couple of question marks. This season wasn't as big as the season before. Right. He has size concerns. I think he's listed at 5'10". It's not very big. Obviously, you see guys do it, but when it comes down to it, it's still just not very big. So when you're looking at your off the tackle, off the line, averaging maybe 6'4" to 6'8" in that range. Defensive lineman being 6'6", 6'4". I mean, obviously, size matters at the quarterback position. You know, when it comes to just being able to see things or your ball getting swatted down, if you're a bigger guy with a higher release, obviously it's going to be tougher to do compared to a shorter guy. And that's just that's just what it is. And from deflections, if you have deflections, it could easily lead to turnovers, which is essentially not the quarterback's fault. But if you could do something to help it out, maybe get a bigger guy back there to play. And obviously CJ checks a lot of boxes. Does a lot of things well. And another thing that we want to bring up that we have spoke about before the show is from Pro Day. We had Rick Spearman at the Pro Day, who was a longtime GM for the Minnesota Vikings. And he did an interview right at the Pro Day. And he kind of really spoke really highly of CJ and just kind of spoke to the fact that how much of a leader he is, how much people is attracted to him. And that's just one thing that you hear around Ohio State in the program, is how many people just really love CJ and everything that he brings to the table. And from that interview, it must have shown. Like, he must have been going into these meetings, and he's showing that he is that guy that could lead the team. He could be the face of a franchise. He definitely could get a locker room around. I'm not saying other guys can't do it when you're looking at the top guys like Bryce or the guy at Kentucky, Will Levis. Levis. Not saying these guys don't have it, but CJ definitely brings that characteristic as well. So, my opinion, Panthers need to take CJ. I mean, in my opinion, right? So that's the guy. You need to go in that direction.
Yeah, and you're a little biased in your opinion.
Yeah, I'm biased.
In terms of risk, you know, if I looked at it as an investment, I'm investing. I'm putting a lot of money towards a young person coming into the NFL. You look for those things. You know, you talk to people. You hear, how does he interact with players? What type of leader can he be? What type of kid is he? And I think he checks all those boxes. And then another way to de-risk, you know, drafting a quarterback number one overall is how accurate of a passer is he? Like, if he's a very accurate quarterback, you know, I think that the guys who have been discussed, whether it's, you know, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, Bryce Young, from a risk standpoint, right? So you look at upside, then you look at what's the risk. To me, CJ seems like the least risky in terms of a guy who has a size. He has a prototypical size. He has the arm strength. He has the accuracy. He has the demeanor and the, you know, kind of the poise to be a leader. Bryce Young similarly has a lot of those same tools, except he's on the shorter side. He's a little bit slimmer, right? So there's risk there. Anthony Richardson hasn't even played that much, you know, quarterback football in general, right? So he has to continue to develop in that area. Will Levis, it was hard to see based on where he played at, what he's actually capable of. So from a risk standpoint, it seems if you're going to take a kid that high, you know, to be able to take a kid that the accuracy translates to the NFL. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy could pinpoint throw this ball. He's done it at the college level. That stuff is going to translate. There's some stuff that, you know, he can continuously improve on, but that stuff's going to translate. So I think when it's all said and done, and you said it, we made our predictions in the past. I predicted Bryce Young would be number one just based on what the talk was. Yeah. We thought CJ was going to end up getting there. And I think it's looking like, you know, CJ will end up being that number one pick.
Yeah, and it's interesting. From once again, we say the whole Panthers organization showed up, and from what I understand, they did the exact same thing. They went to that same crew, went to Alabama to check out Bryce. That same crew went to Kentucky to check out Will. So we'll see. I mean, like, you know, obviously we're just talking about it, right? But obviously, the Panthers made a huge move in trading up to get that number one overall pick. So we'll see what they do with it.
So you mentioned Rick Spielman. The other thing he talked about was he talked about DeJuan Jones. He said, you know, they talked about the fact that he didn't
weigh in at the Big Thanos.
Yeah. he elected not to actually weigh in at the pro day. And, you know, there's guys a lot of times elect not to do something at a pro day or combine. And he weighed in at the combine, but did not at the pro day. Weight is a little bit different to where that can tell a little bit of a story, right? Because, so Rick Spielman specifically mentioned that the over-under going across the league for DeJuan Jones is 400 pounds. So,
yeah. And the thing is, even if he's not there now, right, he obviously must plan on – must play around that weight, right?
Yeah.
I mean – if you at the combine 374, 375, that's like, literally the best shape you probably ever going to be in. Tip-top shape. Like, you did everything right for the course of 2 or 3 months. Obviously, you come around the season, so you're not in horrible shape. And you did everything right, eating, drinking, working out, everything you could do. And that's the way he showed up as a combine.
But hold on, man. That is crazy, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, it's hard for me to. You know, you get into an elevator and it says this elevator can only hold 1,000 capacity. Like, if DeJuan Jones is in that joint, man, it's like we only got like 3 more people that can show up before this thing says, you know what, we going down.
Yeah, but I mean, he's a big man, but he could move. I feel like he is a first round talent, just looking at how he's progressed.
And
even though, like, he's a huge guy, but he has the tools. He plays the right way to be a huge guy. And be honest, you know, it's a big number, 400 pounds, right? Think about a guy playing with it. But a lot of times, I mean, you start looking at some of these defensive linemen in the league, and, you know, you get this number coming out of college, right? With that number coming out of college at the combine, like, oh, he's a 6'4", 335-pound defensive lineman. But this is year 8, and you're looking at the guy, like, it's no way. Like, I'm a big guy. I know size. It's no way that this guy's still 330 pounds. Like, when I remember Haloi Ngata played for the Ravens for a long time, nose tackle. And I was like, this is his staff. Like, this big man, he's 6'4", 335, 3'4". I'm like, bro, it's no way. He's at least 370 right now. There's no way he's that small. And, you know, it translates. Like, you know, basically you get your number and you stick with it. No one every year is updating the program on your size. You know, it's internal. And no one really reports on it unless they wants to for whatever reason. So I think, you know, he's a big guy. He will remain to be a big guy, but I think he still has, you know, done enough over his career to know that you talk about risk. To me, he's one of the guys that doesn't have a lot of noise off the field. Big guy because that's just naturally who he is, but he does the right thing to play football and will be able to play football at a high level, in my opinion, for a long time. So we'll see where he lands as well. Cause it's like, you know, mock draft, some people got him first round, some people does not. Exactly. My opinion, upper first round, if you need an offensive tackle, especially someone you can plug in at right tackle right away, and just learn the sport and continue to grow with him, he's one of those guys because he just has the tools. It's going to be tough for him to get ran over. It's tough for him to miss with his hands. He just does.
He's done through this process. He's done what he needs to do. The only question is, does his weight get away from him? That's the only question.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is, he's 6'8". You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like he's not 6'4", 375 pounds. He's 6'8", man. He got a little bit more, space to handle a little bit more weight. But what's crazy about it is I played at, like, 195. So he's literally twice my size, man, weight-wise. It's crazy. This is crazy to think.
That's what makes football unique, though. It's only, like, really one sport you can see a guy that's literally – close to 400, another guy that's close to 190 a time. That's a big corner, right? You got corners that's one in the 70s and 80s, and they're playing the same sport.
And they collide, bro. Like, they collide. That's the craziest part of it.
That's what makes football fun, man. I know that, but I guess with regards to weight, though, we do got to speak about, like, was it Jalen Carter, who was one of the considered top 5 pick out of Georgia, right?
Yeah.
From combine to pro day, he gained 9 pounds. And the story of Georgia's pro day was like he could barely finish his position drills. That's the only thing he came to do. And he was saying he was really out of shape and not really up for it. Like I said, didn't watch it, but that's just the word around it. And it's just like, okay, that's a thing. But like, but DeJuan didn't weigh in, so he could have lost weight. Technically.
That's the key. That's the key. So like in an interview like this with Spillman, he talks about, you know, he could be over 400 pounds, but the reality is, on paper, he's 374.
Yeah.
He's 374. You're going to see it over and over again. Every time they look at the sheet, it's going to say 374, 374, 374. Mm-hmm. So by him not weighing in, if he was over 400 or if he was close to 400 or if he just gained 9 pounds, he went out to eat with teams the night before. They probably got him, you know what I'm saying? Got a steak and all that stuff. They didn't support his shape. So for real, there's always this talk during the pro day or during the combine, but when they get back to the room and they start splitting hairs between DeJuan Jones and another tackle who they can't make a decision between, they not going through, well, maybe he was 410 pounds. You don't know. So you're just going to look at the sheet. He's 375. So, and to that point, Jackson Smith and Jigba also helped himself out, you know, because really he could run a route as good as anybody who's run routes, right?
Right.
The only question was really, does he have the actual speed to really, the top end speed to play at that level consistently and be able to, you know, get open and make plays? And he ran a 4.4. They gave the range between, what was it?
4.4. So, and nah, this is from a reporter, not like a GM that has some power. But reporter wrote down, he ran in the range of 4.48. Through 4.52.
So we round down. We round down as 4.48. The 4.48. If one person got 4.48, there's a 4.48 across the board, and that's who he is for the rest of his career. Year 10, if he's still playing and he's running a 4.65, but he's still getting open, you know, on the sheet, Jackson Smith and Jigba, 4.48. So if he ever is a free agent and somebody's looking for a speedy receiver who can play in the slot and do all these things, they're gonna say Jackson Smith and Jigba, 4.48. It doesn't matter if he can't run that anymore. So we round down when it comes to the 40.
Yeah, and I feel like he did what he needed to do. He went obviously basically missed the season, essentially missed the whole season, right? Due to injury, problem with a hamstring. So a lot of question marks about that in general. And when it came to the playoffs, he opted to sit out. So that was a big news for Ohio State. And he wanted to kind of focus on his health and get ready for this process. And you can't blame him, right? Cannot blame him. So from that, you know, a lot of teams started to kind of question, is he the number one guy, number one wide receiver? It's tough to say, right, with wide receivers, because, you know, really, you know, you got usually several good guys this class. They have another handful of good guys that actually did, you know, play this season. So it's tough to say, will he be a first-round guy or not? Obviously, we're biased. Of course he is. To me, he's the best wide receiver in coming out this year. But, you know, will he actually go first round? Who knows? But, you know, he did, you know, do what he had to do through this process and showing the quickness and the speed that we know he has. Once again, he got it down. He scored it. It's on paper. It's documented what he could do. So definitely came out and did what he had to do this pro day to kind of, you know, see what the secure, you know, if you had a question mark about speed, he kind of, you know, did what he could to kind of answer that for you.
Yeah.
Another guy that
I'm hoping he goes to the Bears. I want a Buckeye throwing to a Buckeye, man. I want to see that connection. But now go ahead.
That would be fun. That would be fun. I mean, it's definitely possible. Obviously, the Bears, I know they have a lot of question marks. I know they had made some moves at wide receivers, you know, just kind of following the news. But I don't think they got a Jackson Smith and Jigba. But we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah, but another big news, I mean, highlight of the pro day is a guy that I feel like I said, I think I said a couple of weeks ago, you know, if he basically came to college, stayed healthy, didn't get some weird off-the-field trouble, he was going to be a first-round pick, and that's Paris Johnson. He went out and performed. You see a clip of him kicking straight down the line, and you're like, well, if you're not into the sport, you're like, what's the big deal? Right. Like, kicking down the line, he's switching feet left and right. I played off the line at the college level, professional level, and just being fair and honest, I could never cover that much ground. That's what it's been time. Let alone switching feet while doing it. And you're just like, why is that impressive? Is it talking about a guy that's, once again, he's like, what, 6'5", 6'6". He's weighed a little bit, a tad bit over 300 pounds. And he could just go. Like, he just flies around. Like, he could just fly around. And it's not normal a guy that size could move that quickly. And if you see, and then with him switching the feet, it just kind of goes into a whole other thing. When you start talking about strength of the hips and strength of the core, flexibility, and just being able to kind of just effortlessly just kind of make those transitions and then come out of it to a sprint. After a workout, you could tell he was already sweating. So it wasn't like the first thing he did. So I'm sure he already been busting it a little bit, and he just kind of goes out and he flies around like that. It's really rare. It's unique. If you're looking at NFL guys, if you're looking at a Trent Williams, that's the one guy that a huge guy out. He got bigger over the years, but he just a big guy that could just really fly. Like, he just can't move that quick as he can being that size. And when you look at Paris, obviously just anything's a problem. When you look at Trent Williams or Larry Tunsil, you know, those guys he's one of those type of guys. He has that type of athletic ability with the size to play, once again, for a very long time at a high level. So yeah, I think he did himself some justice, went out, performed well. Obviously, it's always coin flips on who's number one, number two, offensive lineman off the board. But he definitely would go day one, and someone would be getting a really good player, really rare player in Paris Johnson.
So what you explained is kind of why it's kind of why the combine and the pro day are important. Because, yeah, you watch the film and you see that a guy's a good player. But there's good players in college that, you know, you put them in pro day and you're like, He just can't move. Like, he just can't move the same way that some of these other guys can move. Or you see a guy, you're like, I know he's a good player, but let me see how he can move. And then you're like, oh, you know, look at Paris Johnson. He can really move different than all these other guys. You're talking about GMs and scouts who are going to pro days. And I mean, they're going to small school pro days. They're going to big school pro days. So they've seen a lot of movement. So they're able to compare and say, okay, this guy has this level of ability. So when we get our coaches with them, then, you know, this is what he's capable of. So, you know, there's times where, okay, this guy could play left tackle, but this guy, he probably not going to be a full-time left tackle. He probably would have to play other positions. And I think that kind of shows why these types of one-day events, you know what I'm saying, after having so much film and all that other stuff are still important. And speaking of, you know, a pro day and the importance of it, and a guy who showcased his ability, Marvin Harrison Jr. You know, he was able to catch passes from CJ to get him as a receiver. And you have all these scouts here. It was almost like a preview of what's to come, right? Just like a sneak peek, right? His dad was there as well. You know, he gets to go out there and showcase, and you have to think all these GMs and scouts are like, man, I can't wait for him to come out next year.
Yeah, that's funny, man. What's the quote? It was a quote kind of that's going around Twitter and things like that. That it was like they say, basically, it's like window shopping for a 2024 Lamborghini. You know, like you see this fantastic athlete, fantastic football player, go out there, run routes, this smooth, fast, strong, powerful, catching the ball with his hands, all the things you want to see. And you cannot do anything with it for a whole another year. He got to go through a whole another season of college football before he has his chance to go for the NFL draft. So, but it's. I mean, he definitely did himself justice, right? I mean, like you say, it's a one day event. You've seen all the plays he made on the field. Now you get to see it in person. You know, just him just doing his thing out there running freely. And it's verified. Like, you know, his talent is verified for sure.
And can he, at the receiver position, you never see it, right?
Rare.
Can he play himself into a number one overall pick? Now you have the quarterback out of USC who's going to be coming out next year, who will probably be most people's projected number one overall pick next year. There's going to be other quarterbacks as well. Obviously, there's going to be some defensive ends. You know, those are the types of positions you tend
to
take.
Offensive tackles,
right, that you take that early, right? However, if you already have a quarterback, you have a tackle, you get somebody through free agency, or you have the defensive ends that you have, or there's not a defensive end that's, you know, at that level of talent to actually to select that early in the draft, do you take Marvin Harrison? Do you see a scenario where Marvin Harrison Jr. goes number one overall next year?
I mean, it definitely could happen. I mean, he definitely has the talent for it. He made the plays for it. In a situation like that, I mean, let's think about this year's draft, right? This year, at the end of the season, Houston wins like their last game of the season, right? And because they won that game, the Bears
Lovey got
was,
fired.
Yeah, Lovey got fired for winning that game. They fired Lovey. And from that, though, the Bears get the number one overall draft pick. And they have a Justin Fields on the roster. At first, it was kind of – I don't know if the Bears was taking it serious or not, but it was saying, like, oh, they should just take another quarterback and maybe move on for Justin Fields. But, I mean, obviously Justin, especially the second half of last season, you know, really showed what he could do, right? He made a ton of big plays. Obviously, them plays wasn't equal in wins, but – they weren't trying to win games. I mean, I think we kind of spoke about this before. The Bears were definitely not trying to win games. They're trying to basically get through this year, evaluate Justin Fields, see if he's their guy, and now build a team around him with the new GM and basically getting rid of all the veteran players. Think about this year. So let's say the Bears still had that number one overall pick. Obviously, they just traded it to the Panthers, and the Panthers need a quarterback. But let's say you are the Bears. You have your quarterback. You see that he could perform. Big thing that's on the team now is like he has no weapons around him. A running back that has some good years, but, you know, not recently. You know, he kind of getting a little beat up due to his high workload. Wide receivers can't even name these guys. Like, who are these guys? You know, they make a trade, I think, in the season to get that receiver out of Pittsburgh who had basically, you know, one – solid year, you know, so he basically got playing with a bunch of guys that you can't really name. And so if we look at, then you got this number one talent. You got Marvin Harrison Jr., 6'4", body control, out of the world, crazy hands, fast, strong, big. Maybe that is the guy. Like, you know, this guy could really, you know, change around things. Just one pick. Now you have to either you don't respect him and we go his way every time until you do something with it, or you do respect it. You got to put extra coverage there, and that kind of changes everything. So it's definitely a scenario that Marvin Harrison can be that number one pick because he's just that dynamic. And the way the game is played now with so much passing and you can't touch wide receivers, you put up a guy like that who's just such a rare talent, you have to account for them in several different ways. So it definitely could booster your offense if you're in that position. So I think it's possible. I think it's definitely possible.
It almost has to feel like the Bengals, like the Jamar Chase scenario. He didn't go number one overall, but they already had Joe Burrow at quarterback. They played together in college. They fixed some of the issues in through free agency or whatever. And yeah, they had the opportunity to pair Jamar Chase with Joe Burrow, and you know Jamar Chase is just a different level of receiver talent. You have really good receivers, first round talent receivers, and then you have Jamar Chase type receivers, right? Mm-hmm. That's what Marvin Harrison is. And I think if things shook in that similar way, young quarterback, you know, young guys at other positions, but you know you kind of have those guys there. Like, you know, I have the defensive end that I need, I have the tackles, or I solved it in free agency. I think that's a possible just because he has the talent. Like if you were to make a draft board and just went off best available, Marvin Harrison literally could be in everybody, you know, team's top three in best available, just best available player just in terms of talent. So there's some receivers, a lot of receivers is like You just don't have the level of talent for me to put this, right, this right. level of investment into you.
Yeah, but he definitely has it. And then, like, when it comes down to, obviously, it's a quarterback-driven league. So if your team is a quarterback and you're going to the draft and there's quarterbacks available, then chances are you're evaluating these quarterbacks and trying to get the one you think is the best. But in a situation where that box is checked for you, which happens, like it happened this year, definitely could be a scenario where Marvin Harrison could be the number one guy. But, you know, just kind of, I guess, transitioning back to Ohio State, right? We're talking about Marvin Harrison. He's getting ready for his most likely, would probably should be, you know, his last season here at Ohio State. We do have We have spring ball going on right now. Yeah. We're going into, what's this, the second week of a spring ball, and we know now that the guys are full pads now. They got through the days of you know, the helmets and shorts and the spider pads and things of that nature, but now it's full pads. So things are ramping up on campus, and once again, as we talk about spring ball, it's the time to really kind of, you know, separate yourself, right? Put your best foot out there. Put your best effort out there. So we got a quarterback composition. We got pass on now. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm really interested in the quarterback, as everybody is. But I'm also interested in the defense, man. I heard Jim Knowles talk about, before the spring practices started, he talked about how, you know, last year was more of a trying to get the scheme in and all those things. This year is really focused on technique and being able to improve within the defense. He's made some adjustments. You know, they're not going to force the Jack position, that Leo position, that kind of stand up, hybrid defensive end linebacker position. They're going to let these guys just kind of play the natural defensive end. Cause I don't think he feels like they have a guy on the roster. I think except one guy who's been battling injury that really fits that position, which I like that he's catering to the personnel that exists. But also, they brought in some competition in defensive backs from transfer portal, guy out of Syracuse, the young kid, who I believe was a freshman All-American, Davidson out of Ole Miss, to bring in some competition. So I'm really interested in their improvement, because this is where you truly improve, not just from understanding the defense, but being able to actually execute at a high level. So that's kind of my focus, is that defense, and the quarterback. I think the other positions are relatively, you know, you got some new guys on the offensive line.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, there's some competition there as well, but I think it's
So I feel like, for me, obviously, offensive line, so my focus is there. So once again, we're talking about Paris Johnson, you know, first round pick. We're talking about DeJuan most likely being the first round pick. And we also lost our center, Luke Weipler, going to the draft. I think he currently got like his third round grade, and he will get drafted and play on Sundays as well. So we're looking at three positions that now we have to fill on the offensive line, and in two of the most important positions, right? You got the center, who essentially is the general on the field for the offensive line, who's usually going to have the requirement of usually maybe pointing out the identifying where we're going in protection, who are we identifying these players as, which matters a ton for the whole scheme of an offense, someone stepping into that role. And then also the left tackle. Obviously, we know at Ohio State with Ryan Day and our new offensive coordinator, Brian Hartline, we're going to be throwing the ball. So our offensive tackles, when it comes to pass pro, those are the guys that matter the most, the offensive tackles, and basically keeping your pocket clean, and have the usually have the toughest job in doing so due to the guys that they have to block to be able to do so. And so we're looking at two new guys playing at the tackle position and the center as well. Right now, I believe it's being rumored that Josh Fryer is stepping into the left tackle position, which he hasn't. Not much experience at. Usually when he has played previously in previous seasons, he was more on the right side of the ball. So now he's at the left side. It seemed like per conversation, they kind of asked him, hey, you want to play left tackle? And he was kind of like, yeah, I guess I play left tackle. So, you know, it's definitely a new spot for him. And then you have to have some younger guys kind of step up in those other roles. So I'm definitely interested to see how that goes. It kind of, as an offensive lineman, sometimes it kind of could take a little bit of a minute to kind of understand that rhythm. You're in there with the starting, whoever they consider the number one quarterback. You're in and out the huddle. You have a defensive line that we know from this year. Coach Johnson is going to have a very talented defensive line. It's going to be a learning curve for those guys. Whoever's in those positions, there should be some competition there as well. So it'd be good to see exactly how that panned out, who could kind of stand in that role, who could do it with some leadership and kind of just kind of maintain and kind of really step into some really big shoes. You're replacing some really good guys, some really good players so well that, you know, you really haven't heard of people about the offensive line. That's how good they've been over the last several years. So trying to maintain that and kind of just keep that rhythm going in the trenches. It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think having new quarterback, new offensive lineman, it's not something to be concerned about or alarmed about. You know, guys could come in and perform as you would expect. These are highly talented guys. But if they don't, things could not, you know, because we tend to, you know, as former players and stuff, we just tend to kind of take this stuff for granted because we were new guys coming in at one point and we just, you know, plug and play. You see it happen over and over again. But if it doesn't happen, you know, you get spoiled too. You go from Dwayne Haskins to Justin Fields to CJ Stroud and, but I do believe that the top guys are going to emerge from the group. You know, that the quarterback battle is going to be an interesting one. I've been on record to say I think Devin Brown gets the edge. But, you know, we'll see what happens there. I do think between the two, you know, whoever emerges from that is going to be a capable quarterback. And then when you have a talent at receiver like we have and at running back, that really helps out. So, you know, we'll see. This is going to be an important spring in terms of getting those newer guys developed, right? And to that point, you know, we went through our spring and, you know, we've talked about each year. So we want to talk about each year. So we're a year two. And I'm going to be honest, I don't really remember my second spring.
Like, why you don't remember it? Why you don't remember it? My second spring was a huge spring for me. Why do you? Because you bought out, right? Your red shirt freshman year, bought out. Did you played a lot? Did you start in any?
I started six or seven games, and I played a decent amount. I played that national championship game. So year two was the year to, you know, continue to sharpen up and learn from my mistakes. And I think I suffered a few injuries, so I was also kind of laboring a little bit in that off season. But I really truly can't remember that's
pretty that's what happens. You got that, like, so now he balled out, so now he like penciled in starter. We had some guys lead to the NFL, so, you know, now this is my spot. So my second spring, so my redshirt freshman year, my first spring, dealing injury, I think it went pretty well, stayed competitive. Got into the season, I was literally considered like the sixth offensive lineman. So if anyone got hurt from left tackle to right tackle, basically I was going in the game, and maybe something like, maybe I wasn't going exactly to that spot, but like someone else on the line would have moved to that spot and I'd be the next guy got in. We had the season and no one, it was like a miracle. No one on the offensive line gets injured. Our center breaks his hand, and within 2 days, is snapping the ball with his opposite hand, which is, if you're not a center, a football player, you don't understand how crazy that is. But Jimmy Cordo break his hands. I don't know. It was kind of early in the season, Jimmy Cordo switches hands in the middle of the week and all of a sudden snaps the ball with his left hand and is still productive. I don't think I can't say if he had any bad snaps or not in the year, but it definitely wasn't an issue. He definitely got the job done with snapping the ball with his left hand and played that year. So, redshirt freshman, like the sixth offensive lineman. I'm getting a ton of time in practice. I'm backing up Kirk Barton at the right tackle position. And Kirk was a seasoned vet, a starter since a true freshman at Ohio State. So, he used to let me get some practice. Let me like get a lot of practice in with the starters. Things of that nature. But when it came to actual game time, I didn't want to play a ton of the games. I was on field goal protection, did that job. But when it came to the actual games, wasn't getting a ton of playing time just due to no one got injured. And you kind of run with your guys there unless it got to garbage time. So going into my second spring, redshirt sophomore, the only senior that really left was Kirk Barry, that right tackle position. I'm backing him up. So it's my job to try to go out there and try to win that position. So I'm at right tackle, battles really well, had some competition from some older guys, some younger guys. I remember my great friend, really good friend, Mike Adams, was there, and JB, and they five-star guys. So a little bit of competition from those guys coming in. But I was able to have a good spring, fought really hard. I remember I'm blocking Cam Hayward every day, all day, and we all know what type of player Cam Hayward was in college and is in the NFL. So it was like, you know, I had a handful every day, but it went pretty good, and I was able to secure that spot at right tackle. So that second spring for me was a huge. It was my dad's job to kind of go out there and show the coaches that, hey, I could fit in that mold. I could be in there with the huddle, with the ones, getting out the huddle, execute at a high level. I know what I'm doing. I'm fighting, you know, giving tremendous effort, being a leader where I can. And so my second spring was really huge for me. I remember, like I said, 15 practices in the spring. Then you had a spring game as well. And I remember after the spring game, I'm tired. I'm blocking cams, and towards the end, like, kind of get some of the younger guys in. So it's like, okay, I made it through spring. And my head football coach, my high school head football coach, Coach Guillen, he calls me up and he's like, hey, how was spring? Like, you know, I'm like, well, you know how spring, you know, Coach Guillen and Tressel are close. Like, you got spring.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, hey, congratulations. Like, congratulations for what? Like, you earned it. You did it.
There you go.
And I was like, I don't gotta. I don't really gotta go through the another year of not knowing, like, was I ever gonna be a starter as an offensive line?
There you go.
Nothing of that stuff. So it was a big spring for me, spring for me to secure that spot and win over that starting spot. So
spring is where you start making the money, man. Spring is where you start making the money. It's the first. I mean, some guys come in so highly touted that they get it started off the jump. But if you don't, spring football, man.
Spring is where it's at.
Good luck to all the guys right now who are going through it, and those guys who are already solidified and are, you know, continuously progressing, trying to improve, and then those other guys who are still trying to make a name for themselves. So, I think that's our show today, man.
I want
to give another shout out to Bet Online. If you, for all your betting needs, Bet Online could. Okay. All right. So.
All right, guys.
Hold on.
Oh, wait, man. Just cut that stuff out, man.
Yeah, we'll cut it out.
Yeah, you said Bet Online. Just end it there.
I'm about to just say it again. Okay. So I just want to give another shout out to Bet Online for all your bet needs, all your sports bet needs. Check out Bet Online to get it done.
Go Bucks, man.
Go Bucks.
There you go.